Hey everyone, it's John Carella, one of the co-creators and executive producer of Dance Moms. And I am super excited. I feel so excited to be doing a podcast about all things dance. We're going to talk about dance in film and TV. We're going to talk about the dance competition world. And we're also going to talk about some LGBTQ issues that intersect with dance. This space is going to be a safe space for myself, for you, for the guest, to use our voice. Well, hello you all. We're switching it up. It's dance competition season. Hello dance moms, dance dads, dancers, dance teachers. And actually, this is great for any performer as well or any athlete. I had Lisa Metzel on. She's a former NCAA gymnastics champion. And she has a book out called Focused and on Fire. She's a mental training and health coach. And this episode was so good. And I wanted to give you all dance competition tips leading up to it, while you're there, and afterwards. And it's so good, I had to make it two parts. So I hope you all enjoy this first part. And make sure you share it, because there's some great things in here regarding fear, nerves for the dancer and the moms and the parent. So let's welcome Lisa. Well, hello everyone. Welcome to your podcast, Dance Dad with John Carella. And I am switching it up a little bit. I know we've talked with people from Renaissance Tour, Frank Gatson, choreographers, drag queens, and now, and dance moms, of course. Now we are gearing back into the dance competition season. So I have here Lisa Metzel, an NCAA national champion, six-time All-American for you dance moms listening. I know you're jumping for joy of all her awards, and a member of four NCAA national championship teams. And she has a book called Focused and Inspired, and it's keeping our athletes safe in a win at all costs world. And I've known her for a few years, and I have applied her wisdom in the dance competition world. And that's why she is here, to help keep kids safe. So here is Lisa Metzel. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, John.
I told what you earlier, nice. You are an elite podcaster. So it's going to be a fun one today. This is a good start. Because I do, you're going to be a part of this amazing group of people. I start off with four questions. And the four questions are, how do you feel? You kind of told us that already. Uh-huh. Where do you feel it?
Yeah.
In your body? What color is it? And what is it saying? And I will answer as well, too. It keeps us grounded. We all need to be in our bodies, but especially when we're feeling nervous. I think these four questions can help any of us.
Such wonderful questions. And I've heard these questions before and never done them on a podcast. So this is a first. So yes, I was and have a little nervousness, and I feel it mostly in my stomach. I get the butterflies, right? But my whole body just kind of feels like electricity is kind of going through it, and it's a little uncomfortable. But where is it? The color, I feel like with the word electricity, I feel like it's kind of like this white and silver energy going through me. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And then what is it saying? It's saying that this is important. It's saying you are alive. It's saying you get to do something that feels important. So
I love that. Thank you. I am feeling happy. I feel it in my throat, like back of my throat. It's orange. And it is saying safety. So, safety. So, you brought up nerves, and I'm just going to go right into it. And in the world of gymnastics, I feel, and you did dance, and in the world of dance competitions, my experience with nerves was that they were not good to have. So what is your wisdom on nerves going into a competition to these kids and these parents? Because sometimes the parents feel more nervous than the kid.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. We live through our children, don't we? Through our dancers, through our gymnasts. Well, I like this question. What do we do when we feel nerves going into a competition? But if I could pause for 1 second on answering it, I would say, where are we starting to develop mindfulness skills? Are we not doing any of that? How to notice and identify your emotions? I'm feeling this, like, you know, this is in my throat, this is in my stomach. What is that? When we have these conversations, when we make it part of the training, you know, welcome everybody, we're having class today, you know, how are you feeling? You know, raise your hand if you're feeling this, raise your hand, you know, make it part of the conversation. Emotions mean that you're human, right? And it's very normal. So in my sport of gymnastics, we have a season, right? And I'm guessing in dance, there's a competition season, or is it year round?
Yeah, it starts, usually goes January to August.
So if there is a perceived time that either is off season or preseason, I would say, you know, at least a month, but I would say probably more like 3 months leading up to something that's important, or a season leading up to the season, is really start talking to your dancers as opening them up to their thoughts and emotions. Okay. Not thoughts about, are you critiquing, you know, did you point your toe? Did you get up on high releve? Did you extend past 180? You know, not that thought. It's what's important to me. Why am I doing this? Am I doing it for my dance teacher? Am I doing it for my parents? Or am I doing this for myself? Right. And how do I want to feel? Do I want to feel comfortable? Do I want to feel safe? What do you want to feel? Okay. Do you want to feel confident? Of course. Yes. You want to feel confident. Okay. That comes with being a leader of yourself. And that's what I talk about in Focused and Inspired, is we need to teach kids that their voice matters. Okay. They have a voice, their voice matters, and to lead themselves. And how can we teach them that? Little ways of being in charge, little ways of making decisions. Okay, so what do you want to decide? We have these options. Okay, whether it's what you're wearing, your hair, you're this, you're that. Sometimes there's so many rules that kids feel like they have no decisions. So that's a helpless feeling. That's a feeling of the authority has all the power. Okay, so when you talk about nervousness going into a competition, have they been learning that they have choices? Have they been learning about their own thoughts and emotions? You know, have they been learning that they're smart, intelligent, that this is part of a learning process? The competition season, dancing, performing on stage, it's all a process. So what do you want to learn in this competition? Okay. Or what is your mindset going in? Is it, I have to be perfect? Is it I need to get a certain score? I need to
place in the overalls is usually.
Place in the overall, get a medal. That's all results oriented. So being nervous going into a competition is practicing being in the present moment.
I love that you said practice it ahead of time, not just when you're there, which I think a lot of people do, which I used to do years ago myself, I had an acting teacher once, his name's Howard Fine. And he said, John, you just can't feel when you're on stage. You have to feel in your life. You can't just come here and say, oh, I'm going to feel right now, and then go back to closing off again. So it's similar to this, where we have to, if we're feeling nervous at a competition, we have to acknowledge when we're feeling nervous in dance class, when we're feeling nervous at school, when we're feeling, and how we deal with that nervousness even then. And this is the first year I ever asked the dancers in class at the beginning, because of this podcast, I realized it helped. I ask them now, how are you feeling today? In the beginning of class. And they're so used to using their bodies that it, I think, took them off guard that I was asking them how they were feeling outside of, and they had to express it with their mouth and using their voice. I would say, you know, you're about empowering the dancer, the gymnast. You know, some people call me, I think one of the dance moms says, I'm really a gym dad at the end of the day because I love gymnastics so much. But you have seen in, I guess my main concern is this is for the kids, you know, and to help them, to give them power. And my main concern would be gymnastics has had a very, historically, they weren't allowed to have their voice. You know, they weren't, you weren't allowed. In dance, and that's changed some. In dance, I would say growing up in it, my experience is the same. It's changing a little bit. I always feel we're behind gymnastics, you know, where you all have a governing board, you all have more regulations, where in dance competitions, it's the wild, wild west, you know, it's a moneymaker. So how do we, in these environments, communities that have not historically given kids voices, how do we, what do we tell to these kids? How do they use their voice in that community?
Well, it starts at home. So, hello, dance moms, dance dads,
and gym moms, and gym dads. They might be listening. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. All sports. It starts at home too.
And contribute. Having a voice at home, like you said, being mindful of your nerves throughout the week. But if you want your child to have a voice in the dance studio with someone who teaches dance, with other students in there, they need to practice their voice at home.
Yeah. And so negotiating, you know, talking, when you talk with your kids, you know, give them some options. Say, well, would you like to do this or this? Okay. And tell me how you feel about that.
Wow, right? Lisa, you are 180 degrees from how I was raised. It was like my dad was in the military, and it was, you eat this, you get this. This is what choice was. You said choice earlier, and that made me feel, kind of triggered me and made me feel good, because even as an adult, I'm barely starting to understand what choice means, power means, and giving that kid choice already at home gives them the choice to, and the power to make choices when they're at the competition, when they are about to go on stage. I had this student last year, and a sweet kid, and just emotional and wise and smart, young 8-year-old girl. And before she, and we're going to talk about this later, she had just learned an aerial, and I had put it in her solo. And so she had two solos, and it was the first competition out, which I'm sure is very similar to gymnastics. You know, they have their new routines, and they're throwing their first double back or full. So there's some anxiousness and fear. So she missed it in her first solo. Actually, no, she didn't miss it in her first. She did. So before we went on stage, she was 9 years old. And I'm big on choice, giving kids a voice and them having choice. Because they are little us's. You know,
they are.
you believe in prayer and church, and they have their own inner guidance, their spirit that can protect them and save them from getting hurt or accomplishing things. So she was about to go on. This is maybe 5 minutes, not even, maybe 30, maybe a minute. You know, the number was finishing. And I went to we have prepared her, and I went to touch her like, good job. And I think I could feel her heart beating hard, really pounding. And I was like, how are you? I don't remember what I said, but she looked at me and I thought she was going to have a breakdown.
Oh.
Meaning this, it was like more panic, trauma. It wasn't regular. It was panic, trauma. And she started crying. Bawling, and she's got to be on in 30 seconds, crying. And she was, and I said, what are you afraid of? I asked her. And she said, I'm going to miss my aerial. I know I'm going to miss my aerial. And I said, so you put your hands down. You miss your aerial. You know, it wasn't about her getting hurt. It was about her not accomplishing the skill.
Right.
And so then she did it. She was incredibly emotional on stage, which because she had just been crying, she had another solo, came off stage. Her mom got her ready. And while I was waiting for her to do her other solo, I'm thinking, I don't know if I can put that kid out there again right now, today. And you'll appreciate this. And so she came over to me and she was ready in her new jazz costume. And I said, I looked at her and, you know, it's a little foggy exactly what I said, but she came up and I said, hey, I said, something to the effect of, I think I just asked her, I said, do you want to do this solo? And she started crying and she was like, no, I don't want to do it. And I said, I even let her know, I said, you have the choice. I said, it's not a big deal. You already danced today. And we have a competition next weekend. You can do it then. And she said no. And I said, I want you to know I support that decision. And I'm going to go talk to your mom. And I brought up Simone Biles in that moment. I said, even Simone Biles is pulled from a competition. And now she's competing again. You can always do it again. And, she ended up not doing the solo, but I really do feel that kid is, it's only been a year, and I feel that her choosing herself and knowing that I'm more important than this solo has helped her so much, where now she's making choices on stage as a professional would. Like this past weekend, we had a competition and I was like, oh my, I got a little, you know, like maybe a coach or a parent, like, oh my God, does she need me anymore? She's doing so good and she's already fixing herself on stage. And, I do feel it was because of that moment of giving her a choice to go on stage or not pushing her out there.
Yes. And I'm so glad you did that, because what is common, or let's just say more common, is a parent or a dance teacher or coach gives them the choice, but then when they choose, no, I don't want to, why? You can do it. You can do it. And they inadvertently, they dismiss how the child is truly feeling. So it happens regularly, like daily. You know, a gymnast in my world will say, I'm nervous. Why are you nervous? You just did it. You're okay. You're fine. Instead of saying, oh, okay, well, let's just take a pause.
And can the nerves be there?
Yeah.
And can the nerves, Can we keep the nerves as well as the other part that says you can do it at the same time? They're not, they don't have to coexist. They're not on separate islands.
Yeah.
You know, you can have the fear and the you can do it. And also, maybe that fear needs more attention than the you can do it in that moment. And you show the kid that they are more important than their dancing, than their gymnastics, than their sport. I feel, I've said this before, I feel sports has gotten, and dance has gotten out of control of what it was meant for. Even if you were to go back 100 years ago, it was to bring people together.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to compete and do amazing things with our bodies, but it is, it's out of, I mean, I do feel it's out of control.
Well, what you were talking about, you said when you were growing up and things were, you had to do things a certain way. I mean, we did have a lot of organization when I was growing up in my home. What I'm hearing in our conversation right now is two things that historically has not been the focus, has not been the priority in sports and dance is number one, honor your feelings. Like you just said,
I like that. Honor your number one, honor your feelings.
Yeah. Embrace it wherever you're at. If you're nervous, if you're jealous, if you're feeling insignificant, if you're feeling left out, if you're feeling, you know, any kind of bullying coming your way and you're feeling scared, just honor that feeling right now and say, it's okay. It's okay to feel scared instead of, I shouldn't feel this way. If you're feeling jealous, gosh, that's interesting. I'm feeling jealous right now. Why? I wonder what's going on with me. Why would
Which
I
can happen
jealous?
In dance competitions, especially before, I'm sure it happens in meets too. You see this incredible gymnast go right before you and you're-
It happens in auditions. I've been in auditions and there's some some girl that just comes out of nowhere and she's got the hair and the body and the face and the attitude and just like a magnet, she draws everybody's attention. And sure enough, you start to feel intimidated. You start to feel a little jealous that people are paying attention to her. You know, there's all kinds of emotions. And so number one is honoring, recognizing and honoring your emotions. Okay. And then number two is, how can we help build the kids up so that they can have a voice and make decisions and feel in charge of themselves? Because it's really easy for all of us adults to be in charge of everything and fix everything and take care of everything and not allow the children and the teenagers to say, you know what? I'm feeling this way, and this is what I would like. This is my decision. And then we don't honor that. We try to persuade them otherwise.
Is that because we're afraid of our students and kids failing?
Yes. We're trying to teach them how to succeed, and we don't want, it's uncomfortable to watch them fail. It's uncomfortable to watch them make a decision that maybe isn't going to work out for their benefit at that moment. But that's the short term. Just like you said, when you let that little 9-year-old girl make that choice, you feel that in the long term, a year later, she's now making more decisions like a pro. And she's just 10, right?
She felt powerful too. She knew. I think it's the choice. Like, oh, I can say no.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not at the mercy of just being pulled. Oh, okay. Well, you know, now I want to say yes. Now I want to win. You know what? Now I want to do really good at the competition.
Yes.
So I'm going to listen to him and do what he said. And yeah, I mean, it even gives me goosebumps that because I felt such, it was hard, of course, watching her go. It was hard to watch her go through that because I know that feeling, and I'm sure you do, of feeling scared of something, feeling like you failed, you know, and I was letting her know, you didn't fail. You already danced. That's the thing too.
Yeah.
And also you can do it again. I heard this quote recently in acting class at Howard Fines with, it's called Alexander Technique. And, you know, for me and maybe some of you dancers and parents, there's such shame around failing. The failing I got down, I feel all the time. I feel all the time.
I had a little bit of a fail this past weekend and I was like, Lisa, that's okay. You're going to bring it back.
So see that, that voice that you had right there, I wouldn't talk to the failure like that. I would shut down. So the teacher said, his name is Nick, and I don't know his last name, but because I like to at least give credit to the person who said
sure.
it. I said, what if I'm feeling shame about failing because I grew up in a family that failure was, especially in the 80s, you do not fail, you know, and a military father. And he said, you know, fail better.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fail better? What do you mean? He's like, well, it sounds like you know failure is going to happen. So when you fail, fail better. And how I took that was forgive myself. And failing better means I can do it again. I can get up on stage again. I can go to the, they can go to the dance competition again. It's not a, this is not the Olympics. And even then, they can go again at that caliber. Look at Gabby Douglas. She didn't fail. Maybe in her mind, she thought she did. So that's her journey and saying, I'm going to go again. You know, I wanted to, you know, let's get back to these dance competition tips. So here's some questions. Do you believe in practicing the day before competition?
I read that question and I thought most of the time I would say a light, whether it's a 20 minute, 30 minute, you know, no more than an hour, I would say stretching, that kind of thing, unless they've been overwhelmed with their schedule, whether it's school, dance training, family events, travel, if there's been, you know, a pattern of stress building, then I would say take the day off before, the day before.
Okay.
But otherwise, I would say a very, very light day before. You have to kind of read the kids and where they're at. I would never treat everybody the same. I know even teams, and not just in gymnastics, but other sports, they will more or less try and treat the whole team the same. But I think that we're getting away from that. I think that's where we've had some problems, is that we tend to have a certain high standard for everyone. And it's not a lower standard to give somebody the day off if they're feeling really stressed. That's not all of a sudden you're lowering the standard. You're treating that person per their human needs. Okay.
We need you're to treating treat, that person like a human, not a pawn in your
not
team.
Not a commodity that you know, you have to rise up and live up to the same standard as everybody else. You know,
so it sounds as though you would say it would be okay to run your solo a few times, a light one before the day. It would be okay to run your beam routine a couple times. And my another question would be that is coming up right now is, what if that practice doesn't go well or that rehearsal doesn't go well? How do you deal with that the day before a competition?
Well, that's why I don't even know, like, let's just talk about what you just said, a beam routine a couple times. I wouldn't do a full beam routine. I wouldn't do 100% the day before.
Oh.
I would say, you know, do a couple skills. Okay. So if you have a side aerial in your solo, your dance solo, you know, do a few side aerials, but I would say visualize your routine. Okay. Sit down.
And what does visualizing mean for you? Give me an example of visualizing a routine, your method that I've seen in this book, Focused and Inspired.
I have two books, and the one that you're talking about is the second book. That's for parents and coaches slash dance teachers. The first book focused in on fire, The Athlete's Guide to Mental Training and Kicking Butt. That has the six mental skills. And the focused and inspired book has the six mental skills also. Yeah, that's the first book. There we go.
This really could be, and I'm going to have Lisa on again. This really could be a two-part podcast because she has so much good information. But keep going.
Yeah,
about visualization.
So recalling is when you close your eyes and you remember something that happened before. Okay, you're recalling it. Visualizing is what you would do to, in your mind, imagine something and create something in your mind. So if you're doing your routine and one day, and it's a beautiful dance routine and you feel so good about it, I would say recall that routine each day.
Ooh.
And then visualize that routine at the competition.
This is so good. I'm using this in life, Lisa.
You can. You can visualize anything, John. You can visualize the healthy meal you want to eat. You can wake up.
Well, it's good for acting. It's good for acting.
Really good for acting. Yeah.
It's good for podcasts, you know. But So recall every day that good, that time you felt you had done your solo really good.
Yes.
And then when you're at the competition, visualize that now that morning, or when would they visualize doing
it? I'm going to give it to you. So in order to prepare the mind to feel that it's familiar, okay? So when they know a week or two in advance that they're going to a certain competition, whether that's in Texas, Florida, wherever they're going, right? Maybe it's a local competition. Look up on the internet the pictures of the outside of that building, okay? Oh, that's where I'm going, okay? You can see the colors, the design. Are there trees? What does it look like on the outside? That all of a sudden taps the brain that, okay, that's what it looks like when I arrive, okay? And then you can usually find pictures of what it looks like inside. All right. What is the, if it's got seats, if it's got certain ceilings, if it's got certain color drapes or stages or whatever, you can usually get an idea of what it looks like inside. Right. And then you say, I'm going to visualize dancing on that stage. I'm going to visualize being there. And then let's say this is in Tampa, Florida. Okay. Haven't been to Tampa. Look at some pictures of Tampa. Do you want to have fun in Tampa? Yes, I have fun in Tampa. Do you want to dance well in Tampa? Yes, I want to dance out of my head in Tampa. Okay, I'm going to have fun in Tampa. I'm dancing out of my head in Tampa. I'm going to this building in Tampa. I love Tampa. Like, you just plant all those seeds of where you're going and how you want it to feel. Okay. You're familiarizing the brain, okay, with the pictures and the places and what are the restaurants? What's the hotel I'm going to stay at, right? What are the restaurants nearby that I'm going to eat at? So all of these things you can do to prepare your mind and make it feel familiar, like you've been there before. And then it's not like, oh my gosh, this is where I am. What do I do? What is it? All of a sudden, there's all these question marks. And we want to ease your mind into it and visualize being there, visualize having fun there, feeling good, whether it's the hotel, the restaurant, the place that you're going to be dancing.
When do they start visualizing? 2 weeks before, you said?
I would say at least 1 week before you go to a certain place, maybe 2 weeks before if you're going to a certain competition. That's visualizing the environment. Mm-hmm. When you visualize your performance, there's two ways to visualize it. You can imagine like you're looking at yourself on a screen, and now I'm in the audience and I'm watching myself on this phone or this iPad, right? That's one way. That's called third person. And that's a little bit of a disconnection, but it still can help. The much more powerful way to visualize is what I call first person. And that's when you're in your body.
That is okay? So good, Lisa. I have never heard of doing that. And I can even feel it already, how good that is.
When you're in your own body, you're looking out your eyes. If I'm walking up steps to a stage, I see my feet in front of me, right? I see the stage right in front of me. I feel my feet on the floor, right? I feel the costume on me, right? When I'm standing on the stage, I look out and I see the audience. I look over to the right wing. I look over to the left wing. I am centered on the stage. Okay. So now I'm in my body. This is first person. When I step, leap, I feel my body moving, right? Instead of just watching yourself on a screen. That's the third person in a disconnection. When I'm doing first person, I'm in my body. When I arch and I throw my head back, I actually see the ceiling, right? When I'm down in my hands, I'm on the floor and I'm rounding in a ball, then I feel like I'm in the shape of a small ball, right? Mm. So you're literally, and you can feel the emotion of it, right? If your music is dramatic, dun, 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 you feel dramatic, right? If your music is light and, you know, soft, then you can feel maybe a little bit different in that music. So when you use sensory experiences, taste, touch, sound, sight, all of your senses, that's really good. When you use that in visualizing, you can hear the music when you visualize, you feel the rhythm when you visualize, and then emotion. Okay. When you feel nervous before, like you said, whether you feel it in your throat or you feel it in your stomach or you're shaky, your hands start sweating. Okay. You can close your eyes and say, oh, well, okay, I'm feeling that nervousness. Okay. I'm going to breathe through it. It's okay to be nervous. It's normal.
Even visualizing the nerves before going on stage.
And
that's
releasing.
Really, really good.
Yeah, that's and really, releasing it.
It sounds like it would be. I have a question. Does I'm going to throw a name at you. Let's see how good I am at. does Jade Carey practice this method?
Oh, good question. You know, I've only met Jade briefly. I haven't heard her talk about this kind of visualization.
I guess I meant, do elite gymnasts practice this before they go to the Olympics or Worlds?
I think if they have been working with, whether it's a mental trainer or sports psychologist or somebody, I think that that is a common thing to do, is that you imagine the pressure. You imagine what it's like to be there. And then you imagine breathing it out. You imagine, and then you're sitting here, I can actually say, okay, I'm at a dance competition. There's some people over there that are not very nice. The audience is waiting. Judges are over there. I'm feeling the butterflies. I'm feeling the nervousness.
I feel like I'm going to throw up, but I'm not. Yep. I'm not.
I'm gonna
I got this. I'm going to be present. I'm going to be nice to someone. I always tell the kids, when you feel isolated, go give to the other competitors. And I love when you said that we need, in your book, that we need our competitors.
There's yes. Need your opponent, then kick their butt.
Thank you so much for listening to Dance Dad with John Carella. Thank you to everyone at Hivecast for all that you do. And if this episode meant something to you, please share it and subscribe. Also, you can follow Dance Dad with John Carella on all platforms. But most importantly, remember to be bold and be fierce.